and great to be a Christian. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that power to be the great power of Jesus the Christ. We know that God has promised to send His Spirit to live within us and to be a part of us in our daily lives and to help to guide us into all truth so that we may serve Him and worship Him. Well, this is the second lesson in the phase of or series of giving that I'm presenting to you. This is the last lesson for today or for this time about giving. But I just wanted to say as I began, there's really not any way to address all of the facets, I think, that are really involved in the great concept of God's giving. And I hope that today we will illustrate some of those things. In fact, I'm going to start with a little illustration, if you don't mind. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Pick it up a little. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. All the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. King and the kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. What am I practicing here? I'm practicing the spirit of giving. Well, really, it's the grace of giving. That's what I want to talk about today. I talked to you last week about this nation that God had formed, and the nation of Israel, and He wasn't real happy with them because they had left Him. And what He said to them was, I am the Lord your God, and I change not. I'm not changing. You all are going to have to learn to live up to the things that I have said. And he said, if you want me to return to you, you have to return to me.
And he said the way that would happen would be for them to bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. He even asked the question. He said, would a person rob God? Why, that's even absurd, isn't it? The idea of thinking that we could rob or take away from God. And yet, he says in that passage that they were robbing God because they were not giving. They were not bringing the tithes into the storehouse the way that he had commanded them to so do. But he gave them a challenge. Remember how we ended up last week and it said, try me, prove me, test me, see if I will not open the windows of heaven with blessings to pour out on you, the likes of which, well, you will not be able to receive it. There'll be so much I can give, you don't have room to store it. You can't get enough storage sheds for this. Jeff, you can't buy any more of those. There's not enough room to put what God has in there. And I'm not saying to you that I have discovered something that you've never seen, but I hope that in what I'm about to read here from the book of 2 Corinthians and some other passages that we'll put together for just a few minutes, that you'll see something that is really the key to understanding what God is saying to us. If you have an NIV, I do believe that in the NIV, it usually gives a little heading over paragraphs or whatever as it begins to start a new thought. And in my Bible, it says, the heading is, Generosity Encouraged. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Read along here with me, if you will. Do we have that scripture back there? I'm sorry. Okay. Just listen to me read it, okay? He says, Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace. I've underlined that in your Bible. The grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overwhelming joy and their extreme poverty. I'm going to back that up now, okay? In the midst of trials, I mean, everything going the way that they didn't want it to go was going wrong. In extreme poverty, they were not rich folk, okay? He says they welled up in a rich generosity. They found generosity even though they were poor. So, if you think we're saying that this is all about the dollar sign, you're wrong. That's not what God is looking for. It's just what the elders want, okay? I was funning. It's not about money. It's not about dollars. It's about learning the grace of giving. Now, you usually associate that word grace, don't you, with your salvation, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, right? Yeah, that's where we usually associate this word. But he wanted the brothers to know about the grace that God had given the Macedonian churches out of this most severe trial with their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, welled up in a rich generosity. For I testify, this might be the key here, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Did you hear that? They gave as much as they were able and even beyond their own ability to give. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. in the keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace. There it is again, an act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, underline this in your Bible, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this grace of giving. The grace of giving. Now, just what does that mean? Well, the Greek word that's translated here, grace, is a word, of course, that comes, you would think, coming out of the concept or the idea of graciousness, and that it was acquainted, or that it is acquainted, with a manner of an act. In fact, it even says the act back up here as we read. And especially the divine influence, as Tom already so well illustrated to us when he gave the Lord's Supper, something you see that the influence, the divine influence, the heavenly influence on the heart. Are you looking? Yeah, the influence of God on our hearts. The giving isn't in the wallet. The giving is up here. It starts up here in the heart of the person. And it's reflected in your life. Okay? It's the kind of thing that you participate in as a part of life experience. It goes far beyond the passing of a collection basket here in our building, in our worship service. It means so much more in regard to life itself, in looking at other people and other situations and feeling compassion and love and understanding so that you are compelled to act upon it, to do something about it. I want to talk to you for a moment about a passage over in the book of Mark. If you have your Bible, go over to Mark and look at chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. You know this story because it's a story about the widow. It's the widow's offering, if you will. Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in a large amount. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. In calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty." Do you notice the connection between the 2 Corinthians passage that was talking about out of even their extreme poverty they gave? Now Jesus is pointing out a woman and saying she has given out of her poverty. She put in everything, all that she had to live upon. I want us to try to grasp, if we can, the central truth in the understanding of what this is really all about. You see, the grace of giving is shown in the sacrificial commitment. It's not by equal gifts or by the equal amounts of giving that grace is to be looked upon. You see, the idea behind it is that it has to do with what is it costing me? What is it really costing me? What kind of a sacrifice am I making in light of the fact, as we'll see, that God has made His great contribution and sacrifice toward us in the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the widow had thrown in more than all of the others, and that had to be a confusing sort of comparison for the disciples to have witnessed what was going on, because as human beings, at least as I understand it, and I think as we see in our world, we see it around us all the time, that there's a comparison between those who do have and those who do not have. Jesus is trying to level the playing field. In fact, the playing field was leveled at the cross, wasn't it, Bob? That's what Jesus accomplished, was He brought all people back to an equal level because Jesus died for everybody, for all, because everyone needed a Savior. Now, we recently had a great time Tuesday evening over at the Christian Services dinner. For those of you that went along with us, you might remember that as we looked at your program, there were different tables or setup of tables. And you noticed that some were on this level, and some were on this level, and some were on that level. But what's interesting about it is that no matter what you paid for your table, what you gave for your table as a gift, that kind of gave, we all had the same meal, didn't we, Tom? We all enjoyed the same food. And we even had some entertainment. We had an entertainer that came out and entertained us, and we laughed and had a great time together. We all enjoyed the same entertainment. It didn't matter where you sat in the room. You were going to be fed, and you were going to be entertained, and you were going to laugh and have a good time. I thought it was a great illustration for what I'm trying to think about here today. As humans, we always tend to want to put the big boys up on the top and us little ones on the bottom based upon the dollar amount. But what was crazy about that is that everybody enjoyed the same thing. Isn't that what Jesus is talking about? Isn't that what we enjoy in the kingdom of heaven? When we come in here, it doesn't matter. We're all enjoying what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Hello? Just trying to get you awake? Yeah. That's the central truth. The grace of giving is shown in a sacrificial kind of commitment. It's not by equal gifts. It's by equal sacrifice. Jesus said some donors gave from sources that were way more than enough. They had more to give. The widow, she didn't have much to give. But what did she give? She sacrificed what she had. And she gave all that she had. You see, the grace of giving involves ownership. You own what's in your wallet. You own what's in your bank account. You're in control of those things. God's not in control of those. You're in control of those. And He's asking us to grow in a grace, a life habit, if you will, of being gracious to everybody. He wants us to learn how to give and do so based upon what they need. And I'm not supposed to judge you on what goes in. We used to have a fellow in a place, and I'll just not say where, but he used to love to give, and when the plate would come, he always had $100 bill that he put in the plate. And he held it. It seemed to me like it was way up here. He held it, let it float into the plate. Well, maybe not quite that bad. But he was sort of letting everybody know that he's putting a C note in, you know. Kaboom. I know that impressed some at that time. I mean, you know, back when we first got off the ark, $100 was a lot of money. Hello? Are you all here today or not? I'm wondering. Kind of slow on the uptake. I know everybody gets serious, you start talking about money. Hey, listen. You know, the old saying, give until it hurts. Well, why don't you give till it feels good? That's what we want to learn to do, is to learn to be the kind of people that have grace in their hearts, because God is giving me the ownership of everything that I have, and the right to earn undergirds the right of the ownership. I have jobs. I earn my money. It's my money. I can do with it what I choose to do with it. God didn't get us into debt. Got silent. I see you looking now. I'm not going to preach on you too bad. But listen, He didn't get you into debt. He'll help you get out of debt. Do you know that? Does He freely give? God says, test me, try me, prove me. Is that not what the Scripture said last week? That was the whole purpose of them getting to understand that was, why are you holding off giving to me? Why don't you give like you're supposed to give and see if I don't deliver on my promise? Giving is so much more than just the idea of getting into your pocket. I know that sometimes it's difficult for us to fully understand what it really means to give. But you see, the Bible teaches proportionate giving, proportionate kind of giving. That means what I can afford, what I decide, what I determine the right amount is. What kind of sacrifice will that make on me? How many donuts will you give up? I'm using donuts because I like them. Is anybody on my side? Or are y'all gone health crazy? I mean, if you can't have a good jelly donut once in a while, you just ain't worth flip. That's all I know. I could at least get an amen. Okay. But let me tell you, what will you give up? What are you willing to give up? What kind of sacrifice are you willing to make so that you can give sacrificially to God? Whether you put in $1, $100, or $1,000, that's not for me to judge. I don't know what the $1 is costing you or the $1,000. I'm just saying to you that God is expecting me to give sacrificially. That's the way He gave to me. It's a growing process. I know that it is. It's a process, hopefully, that we excel in. That's the 2 Corinthians passage, in that grace, so that we can learn to do it better. But you know the principle, and that's what I was doing walking out through the crowd. What else did you notice I was doing? I was grinning at some folks. Some of you never grin. Your face is going to crack, right? But I was getting a lot of grins back. Don't cost anything, grin, does it, Jim? We can just smile at folks. They'll say, who is that grinning fool? What's wrong with him? Must be something wrong. He's always grinning. Just as soon as you grin, somebody's grinning right back at you. And if you stick a hand out, what happens? You get another one back. If that does not illustrate the simplicity of God's principle of sowing and reaping, I don't know what does. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. How many want to reap generously? Come on, be honest. Everybody want to get, we all want a bumper crop, right? I tell Rosemary to go down to the bank and get us a wheelbarrow full of money. You know, if they're passing out samples, back the truck up. Yeah. We all want to get it generously. But in order for that to happen, I've got to practice generosity. I must be one who gives generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. We'll come back to that. Not reluctantly or under a compulsion to do so, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, give till you feel good. Till that, give it that, the best thing ever. Pass that plate again. Yes, a cheerful, happy giver, because it's a great opportunity. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see what's tied together with that? Is seeing to it that the good work gets done. That's who we're about. And when is all of this going to take about? Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, it says, now about the collection of the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Well, it tells us, it answers so many good questions for it, doesn't it? It tells us the when we're going to do it. It says the who, for example, is going to do it. Let every one of you. Who is omitted from this? No one. Let everyone do this. Let everybody do it. How are you going to do it? In rich generosity. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8. In their many trials, in their poverty, they excelled in their generosity. They first gave of themselves, and even beyond their ability, they went on and on. They soared. Well, how much are you supposed to give? Well, look at the widow. She gave what amounts to a sum of money less than 50 cents today. But it was all she had. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody else. What kind of more did he mean? How much is much? Well, only you can answer. What would you give for your family? What would you give for all that God has blessed you with in so many different ways? See, that's the point of this idea. You see, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. So it's what you plan to do. What you're planning in your heart to do. It's what you've said in your mind so that you can do. And when you compare this idea of this grace, you got to compare it to what God gave to us. That's the why. Because He so loved the world that He gave His one and His only Son, and that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And whoever believes in Him is not condemned. That's the idea. Because that's what God did. The grace of giving involves ourselves. It involves you. It involves me. Under the Old Testament, the sacrifice on the altar symbolized the people dedicating themselves to God. That's why they slit their throats and let the animal bleed and die and give their blood. In the New Testament, we bring to God our lives and our possessions. He tells us to offer our life as a sacrifice. Isn't that what he says in the book of Romans chapter 12? It's not the idea of legalistically seeing who gets to give or who gives the largest gift, but instead, the person that sacrifices the most. Jesus commends it in his teaching, and then Jesus acted it out and gave all he could give. Gave his life. He practiced it by giving his life for ours. See that you excel in this grace also. In this grace grow the grace of giving. The understanding that when you see somebody coming, I know, you can pretty much tell that fellow that's fixing to put the beeline on you, right? He's getting ready to hit you up with something. You're already thinking in your mind, why, now this guy is responsible for his own life. That's true, he is. I don't know what he's going to do with my money. That's true, you don't. Do you have a giving heart? Do you have a heart that simply says, I need to help this person? That's what God is looking for from us. People who excel in the grace of giving. I love you. I hope you'll be inspired to give great gifts to the people around you, everywhere, not just in your family. When you go out tomorrow, that your heart will be focused of doing what's good, no matter what. I want to do what's right. I want to be able to give to mankind, and I want to see everybody be equal. God bless you. You're subject to Jesus Christ. We need to talk with you about things about heaven. We invite for you to come while we stand together and while we sing. Won't you come?